listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don't just watch the draft, Dog Pound. Join me in a Play the Draft contest with the Cleveland Browns. Play the Draft is a fast, fun, free, easy-to-play fantasy game for the NFL Draft. Find undervalued draft prospects for your chance to win prizes, including a 2015 customized Cleveland Browns jersey. Sign up now at clevelandbrowns.com. Zagern Wilhelm with you here. We just heard Dante Whitner. Sounds confident, excited about year two of the defense. Some good stuff in that interview, I thought.
It definitely was, and I thought I pulled a lot of great stuff out of that interview. Just how excited he is to have Tremont Williams, you know, to be able to replace what could have been a little bit of drop-off opposite corner, you know, of Joe Hayden, you know, with Buster Skrine leaving for the New York Jets. So he's excited about that. And also, too, just the depth that he went into about a multitude of topics. Johnny Manziel in his conversation, you know, I listed off the free agents that we had signed, and he commented on each and every one. You know, Brian Hartline's going to do this. Dwayne Bowe's going to do that. You know, what Randy Starks and what Tremont Williams will do. I think, you know, along with Carlos Dansby on the defensive side of the football, you know, Dante Whitner's going to be the go-to guy. And what I heard out of his voice is extreme optimism, and also, too, how bad he wants it for this city. And even also, too, when I asked the Cav question simply to be fun and make it not about football and get into Dante's mind because he is a Cleveland guy. But he took it right back to, you know, the competitive level and the psyche of a professional athlete about, you know, getting too far ahead of themselves. And I think at this point right now, with the second day of OTAs, being over for today and just getting back with his teammates, they're taking everything in stride, and they know the task that they have ahead of us to be a competitive football team in their division first, and then in the National Football League.
And we are going to hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, at 2. We're going to hear from his secondary mate, Joe Hayden, also McCown, Hartline, Tremont Williams, Randy Stark. So lots of guys to hear from here over today's show, and probably some into tomorrow since we got a lot of great sound for you. 216-578-0850, the way to get with us. I thought it was interesting that he said Justin Gilbert had not sought him out. They really didn't talk about it. The comment was made, and that Justin Gilbert's showing it with his actions. They didn't need to talk about it. He's out there working out with Joe Hayden and trying to get on the right place.
I just think, for a second player, you got to have a big pair to walk up to a guy like Dante Whitner and seek him out. I think they will have their time. For whatever reason, I'm sure Johnny didn't seek out Dante, and maybe Dante, sought out Johnny Manziel specifically. But I think sitting in that defensive back room, if they do it collectively, at one point or another, they'll have that conversation. Both of them are going to come back from a water break, and it's going to be the two of them in a room, and they'll have that little 5 to 10 second conversation. Or at one point, they're going to be running sprints next to each other, and in some point in time in the next 2 weeks, they'll have that their little 30 seconds to a minute to have that conversation that you referenced.
I probably think the biggest piece of news that we heard there is that he talked to Johnny a little bit, and he noted that Johnny Manziel has moved out of the 9.
I said it yesterday, didn't I? That would probably be a pretty good thing.
I think that's a big thing, and I think that shows exactly where he's at. Get himself out of that kind of very much a social party type of a scene and getting himself, we don't know where, which is good. That's his privacy, wherever he is, but I thought that was an interesting nugget that was dropped there by Dante Whitner.
Absolutely. And I think also, too, now that he's not living, you know, with that influence, you know, a few stories below him, you know, maybe some of those friends from Texas won't come as frequently because they know it's not the good time that it used to be because Johnny has turned a new page. So that, again, decreasing the influence simply because he's not in the situation, which will decrease the influence of some of the bad intended individuals in his life that, you know, wanted to ride coattails, enjoy a party. That invitation is no longer there. You want to come stay at my house 30 minutes outside of the city? I'd be more than happy to have you. And we can go to Dave and Buster's and maybe go to a Cavs game or something.
Or just chill.
Yeah, or just chill. Exactly. So that is a huge step in the right direction.
That was a big step in the right direction. Dante talking about this defense, talking about the people that have brought in on offense, and just really you could tell excited to get back to work. I love that he's fired up to play the Niners and the Seahawks, his former team and their biggest rival. Did you ever get to play the Chargers once you left San Diego?
I did. Not in a regular season game. I actually got hurt as a Niner against the Chargers, ironically, in the last preseason game. As we always, you know, the Niners-Chargers is always it's such a quick trip that it's the last preseason game. But yeah, and for me, it wasn't some, you know, I look forward to going and seeing a lot of the familiar faces, you know, simply being, you know, fresh out of San Diego. It was all the same, the coaches, and just, you know, rekindle those relationships, you know, since I had, I was still living in San Diego, just was not a part of the Chargers organization.
I mean, it could be when they face Seattle, those could be the two best secondaries in the NFL squaring off.
Yeah, absolutely. I would hope it come about in the middle of the season.
I'm hoping it, when you look at the schedule, and if you want to talk about the schedule real quickly, we can do that. That's a good little segue right there. The Browns opponents, if you can give me anything here for the Browns and their schedule this year, this is what I want. If I have just a couple things I want. And again, here we'll find out tonight when they play these teams, but here's who the Browns play. At home, Baltimore, Cincy, Pittsburgh, Denver, Oakland, Arizona, San Francisco, Tennessee. And then away, Baltimore, Cincy, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, San Diego, St. Louis, Seattle, and the Jets. I hope the San Diego game is later in the season,
yep.
Maybe November, December. I hope the Denver game at home is late in the season. Put him in bad weather. Let Peyton Manning be a little bit older, a little bit more beaten up at that point in the season. And give us Pittsburgh in one of the first 3 weeks. And that's all I want, so that no Le'Veon Bell.
No Le'Veon Bell. Absolutely. And let that defense have a hard time figuring things out with no Ike Taylor, no Paul Amalu, no Jason Worlitz, no Brett Kiesel.
Yep, let them kind of take the adjustment. I'd love that. That's all I want. And I hope that the Browns get a Monday night game. I'm not sure they will, but I would love a Monday night game.
I'd love a Sunday night game.
No chance.
No chance.
None.
Why?
Sunday night is, first of all, they only book, what, maybe 2 months of the Sunday night schedule before it becomes all flexed?
Yeah.
Sunday night has become the absolute preeminent game in the NFL. The Browns are not ready for that preeminent game in the NFL.
Yeah, okay.
We could put a dinner on it. I mean,
it's not worth that much to me.
Come on,
I would love a Monday night.
If you win, you get a Wilhelm dinner.
You're right.
You get a Wilhelm.
I get a what is it? Free Willy?
You would get a free Willy. 216-578-0850. Gary in Middleburg Heights. Welcome to the show.
Hi Nathan. Hi Matt. I'd like to ask your opinion.
Sure.
I'm a lifelong Browns fan since Jim Brown, Frank Ryan, Bill Plum. I think last year, Paul Kruger was out of position. And I'm going to tell you why. He's a linebacker. And I know he had an excellent season, 11.5 sacks. But most of the runs that I've seen, 142 yards a game, always went to the right. And when I watched, he was always looping around trying to get to the quarterback.
He does.
And I would just like your guys. And I know he had an excellent year. 11.5 sacks. I think he's an outside linebacker. That's where he should be to stop the run.
Well, that's what he is. He is an outside linebacker. I wouldn't say he's out of position. I think what you notice is that sometimes he does not maintain gap discipline in his run fits, and sometimes he has a tendency to do some looping and to be focused more on rushing the passer than the other part of it. I think that that's something they need to do.
I 100% agree, and from time to time, I have been known to text you from the press box down to the sideline, which is not illegal because we are not members of the coaching staff, and comment on that simply because I was just, you know, very frustrated. And that's the one thing that I believe was asked of him highly in Baltimore, which he's kind of lost a little bit here in Cleveland because and you know what? And most likely because Barkevious Mingo, his, you know, the counterpart opposite him in many pass rush situations, is not a real threat to rush the passer. So he feels obligated to be the guy to put a significant amount of pressure on the quarterback. But that all being said, there's many things that go into it. You know, there's outside linebackers that play right and left. There's guys that flip, you know, from one side to the next. And so that is something that I would hope that Jim O'Neill and Mike Pettine have really gone in and studied to understand what percentage of runs, you know, went left, what percentage of runs went right, and then also, too, what went at Kruger and what went away from him, what types of runs. And that's something that I'm sure Paul Kruger, who is coming off his best season as a Brown and best season in the National Football League, will focus on as well. Because what I loved about Coach Norv Turner as well as Marty Schottenheimer and his assistant coaches there, when you opened up OTAs or even prior to your minicamp or sometimes it was prior to training camp, you would get like a little note card, you know, a laminated note card of the three things that the coaching staff, not just one coach or your coach, what they felt you needed to work on or improve on to get, you know, us as a defense to the next level. I really hope that's something that guys are given as opposed to just assuming what I need to work on going into this offseason.
It's all about getting better. They're back here. They're working. Brian Hartline saying today the offense put in 100 plays, installed 100 pass plays today as they finally got their hands on the playbook yesterday. Good to see. Get that in there. John DeFilippo getting these guys ready to rock and roll. We'll be back with more here. We're going to get some sound from the players. 216-578-0850 if you want to call. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.